No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Friendly Manitoba indeed. Come to Winnipeg if you're a struggling hockey team. Play the Jets, and they will be the panacea for all that ails you. A Buffalo Sabres team that had lost 7 games in a row comes into Winnipeg and defeats the Jets tonight by a 4-2 margin. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about tonight's defeat. As I mentioned, the Jets dropping an inexplicable 4-2 decision to the Buffalo Sabres, a Winnipeg Jets team that didn't have a time zone excuse, didn't have a rest excuse, didn't have too many games in so many nights. They've been off since Friday, laid an absolute egg in front of their hometown fans, those that were still there, and lost tonight against one of the worst teams in the NHL, something that has been said on more than one occasion this season. Gentlemen, good to see you after a few days away. I hope you both are doing well. Just an absolute horrendous performance tonight by the Winnipeg Jets.
I don't know if I would call it horrendous. I actually thought the first couple periods weren't bad. Obviously, you know, the goal at the end of the second period, guys, is a complete killer, right? Like, I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, we all know, you know, the skill level that he has. Like, it's hard to believe sometimes that he's only, you know, 21 years old. But I mean, the Sabres are, as you mentioned, I'm not going to argue with that, Drew. They're not a very good team. But you know, as compared to last year, there's certain parts of that game where you're like, okay, this team actually is not bad. They can skate. Like Tage Thompson, he leads them with goals. You know, I thought he looked good out there. You know, we have to give a shout out to Winnipeg's Cody Eakin. Picked up an assist on Anders Bjork's goal. But, you know, for me, it was just kind of, you know, defensive breakdowns, which we've seen many times, you know, early on this season. Like, that's kind of what led to their demise, right? Like, you think about, you know, Mark Scheifele had just a brilliant chance. You go back to the first period, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen made that pad save, right? If Scheifele elevates a little bit, you know, then the Jets have another goal in that first period. But You do have to beat a team like the Sabres. And I know there's a lot of chatter, you know, about how this was supposed to be the easy game of the three guys. Like, you can lose to any team in the NHL. Like, it's just the reality. It doesn't matter what team you are. So that whole narrative of, you know, the Jets, you know, blew their chance to win the easiest of the three games. I mean, look at the game individually. They should have beat the Sabres. And you know, in the third period, I just think, you know, the pushback, you know, it wasn't what I would like to see from a team who right now is battling for their playoff lives. And yeah, we're only 28 games into the season here, but it's not like the Jets have a cushion, right? Like, we talked about it on the Saturday morning show. You know, the Jets have been a 500 team for the last month. They're a 500 team record wise right now. So I didn't think it was, I wouldn't say it's horrendous. And you know, we can agree to disagree, Drew. Because
we're,
I think
we're going
in the first couple of periods, I mean, it could have easily been a tie game going into the third period. Yep. And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was good. I think Connor Hellebuyck, you know, some of those shots from, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, he might like to have back, but Dahlin's a very smart player. But to me, that was the story for the Jets. It just, you know, it wasn't good enough defensive coverage. Like, look at the Anders Bjork goal. I mean, Morrissey and Schmidt are both high in the zone chasing, and Kyle Connor just leaves his man, and it was Bjork. Right, and wide open in front of the net, right? Like, so he has a lot of time there. And you look at the 2-on-1, the fourth goal that Buffalo scored, right? Like, Jeff Skinner is a former 40-goal scorer. If you give him that much time and space, I mean, he's going to score a lot of the time. And it was Morrissey, unfortunately, you know, who got caught there, you know, with the pinch. So it wasn't a great performance from the Jets, but there's no doubt that they were in this hockey game. They came back twice and tied it. So it's not like, you know, they were down and out for the majority of the game. It was that fourth goal that obviously final nail. And it was the third goal that was obviously the late goal in the second period, the Dahlin's second goal that was the killer.
Okay, so Dave, I said that it's horrendous. Ezzy's being a little nicer than I am. You know, you don't have to take a side necessarily, but what's your analysis? I mean, I think that's an inexcusable loss given the circumstances. Where do you fall on the spectrum, let's say?
Well, I mean, I would think that, you know, you go over 3 on the power play against the 22nd ranked PK in the NHL. You give up a goal on the penalty kill. That's, you know, one, they went go 1-for-2 on the penalty kill. That's a killer, no pun intended. And look, I think there isn't an excuse. I mean, look, yes, the Jets were in the game for parts of it. They had stretches, you know, they didn't start the game well, which they needed to, because Buffalo came in having a winless streak of 7 games. So you needed to step on their neck. You needed to get that first goal. You didn't get that first goal. You give it up instead. So you give a team that's not feeling great about their game, even though their goaltender has been playing well. You know, he was playing well in the last 4 starts for them. So, I mean, you have to give him credit. I'm not going to try and say his name, Jukka Puukkolainen or whatever, but the reality is that you know, we talked to Marty Baron over the weekend, right? And he talked about their goaltending and that sort of thing. So, you know, he played well. The Jets, you know, started to get a little bit of pushback in that first period, and you thought, okay, Pierre-Luc Dubois scores. You think the Jets are, you know, they did. I can't stand excuses. I can't stand we weren't ready. Too bad. You know, I mean, like, you chose to have a travel day on Saturday. You chose to have an off day on Sunday and then only practice on Monday. So that's like, that's on you guys. And if you, like I said, if you don't like it, then you could have figured out a different arrangement and flown home Friday night and practiced, taken Saturday off and practiced on Sunday, you know? So the whole not sharp, whatever. But the reality is, you know, that excuse only holds water for probably about 10 minutes of a hockey game. And once the legs are going, then guys are ready to go. And, you know, we'll talk to you know, players and coaches throughout any league, whether it's the NHL or AHL, and they'll say, yeah, you know, it might take me 3 shifts to get ready, but that's within the first 6 minutes of the game. So the truth is, these guys within 6 to 10 minutes are ready to go. And the Jets looked like they were bouncing back. So they bounced back okay in the first. And then that second period, it was like a reversal again, right? They tie it quickly after they give up the lead. Bad goal to give up. I mean, the Bjork goal was terrible defense. And so you're sitting there going, why is Bjork wide open? There's not a Jet around him. And so then you think, okay, they tie it with the Ehlers goal, and Dubois had just been stopped just moments before. So there was some good pressure. And then out of nowhere, it was all Buffalo. And Buffalo starts to carry the play. And you're thinking to yourself, like, this doesn't look like a Jets team that is in it. And I don't give them any credit for playing okay enough to win, because you didn't win. And, you know, it's funny because the opening of our segment, you know, of our show is Mandy saying whether points are won or points are lost, you know, it'll be discussed on the Elite Group Hockey Show. Points were lost. And those are two important points to, you know, when the teams, like, look, Minnesota's not playing tonight, obviously due to COVID, but the reality is a lot of the Central Division teams are winning. And so you lose 2 points to a Sabres team that's winless in 7. I mean, look, yeah, Ezzy's right. It is only game 28, but these games, like, you know, casually giving away points in the standings bank is not a good thing. And when you're chasing in, you know, late in the season and you're desperate for the points, you'll look back to these games against a Coyotes team, against the Sabres team, and you could say that was the difference between our season. And it's not necessarily even making the playoffs. It's seeding, you know, potentially. So there's a lot of problems with the Jets right now, and losing 2 points tonight is just one of them.
Can we talk about how well Pierre-Luc Dubois played before I get too depressed?
No, not yet. I had something to say first. We'll talk about some individual performances as we get going on the post-game show. We say good evening to everybody. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show, the Jets dropping a 4-2 decision to the Buffalo Sabres. If you're new here, welcome. We always do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. What we ask of you is smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, review us, leave us some comments. We want to hear what you like and what you dislike about the show. That's your job. Dave Minuk's in the top right, Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. I said off the start it was a horrendous loss. You know, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not a horrendous loss. Maybe it's time we just recalibrate this Winnipeg Jets team and expectations on this Winnipeg Jets team. Maybe they're just not a good hockey team. You know, at a point in time, you know, where you're a third of the way through the season, you are what your record is. And this team has won 13 games out of 28 that they've played. They've won 11 games in regulation time. So maybe they're just a bad hockey team.
Well, I wouldn't say bad hockey team, but maybe they're not a Stanley Cup contender like the narrative was at the beginning of the season. And I realize, like, we always have to, you know, pump the brakes here because, you know, 28 games is not, you know, towards the end of the season. Obviously, it's not even the midway point of the season, but you can't keep saying, well, it's only game 28. It's only game 32. It's only game 34. So I wouldn't go as far as to say they're a bad team, Drew, but look at, we talked about it on Saturday and you asked the question and you know, it's kind of hard to give an answer without giving multiple reasons in that answer, right? I guess that's what an answer is oftentimes, but they're a 500 team now, right? Like you're saying 13 of 28 and, you know, they've gotten, you know, they got the bonus points, but they've also, you know, failed to get the extra point in whether it's overtime or the shootout. So you could do that with any team, right, guys? Like you could say they could have two or three point more points or they could have two or three less points, but even with those two or three more points, it's not like the Jets would be a top team in the Western Conference. Like since they started off the season 9-3-3, and even going back, guys, to, you know, starting off the season 0-2-1, right? Like, you know, this hasn't been like a team that's gone on a 7 or 8 game winning streak here. Like this has been kind of a 500 team, like I said, for about a month now, and less under 500. So do we have to recalibrate, you know, our expectations? Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I mean, there's a lot of hockey to be played. It's not like the Jets are out of a playoff spot. They're not out of the playoff picture is what I'm trying to say, Drew. But I think the level of inconsistency has to be a concern on this team, not just for the coaching staff, but for the players and the entire organization. Because, you know, you look at the games against the Kraken and the Canucks, like we talked about it after the game against the Kraken, right? That was almost a perfect road game. Like Seattle was... they were absolutely stymied, right? Like they just didn't have anything. Like Hellebuck didn't have to steal the game, but he just had a nice clean shutout. And then against Vancouver, they could have easily got 2 points either in regulation or, you know, getting the extra point in the overtime. We talked about it. The Jets were the better team in overtime, but like, you know, you didn't follow it up with another solid effort. Like Buffalo outplayed them at certain points of this game. And yeah, the first 5 or 6 minutes wasn't great for the Jets, but after that, they controlled the first period. The Jets were all over them.
There was a lot of arrogance. If you go through this game and how the Jets played it, they give up the opening goal to Buffalo. They tie it up. They give up the second goal, or the Sabres retake the lead. The Jets tie it up. The Jets, they played the game like a team that thought they can just score at will whenever they need to do so. And eventually, Buffalo scored one more goal that the Jets couldn't match. That, to me, is arrogant. That, to me, is playing a kind of game that is disrespectful to your opponent. The Buffalo Sabres want to play hard. They want to end their losing streak. You're not good enough. No team in this league, for the most part, is good enough just to flip a switch.
Shout out to Michigan.
And play whenever you and win whenever you think you can just flip that switch. The Jets aren't good enough. Most teams aren't good enough. You know, this to me, I know we've talked about it. You're not going to be able to replace all the players. It's just not something you're going to be able to do. You can't replace 12 forwards. You can't replace 6 defensemen.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I mean, it has to be being discussed within the True North offices that this presently is unacceptable, because it hasn't been just a small sample size.
No,
you know, 9-3-3. Okay. Yeah, that was good. Well, guess what? You're 4-7-2 since then. And you're 4-7-2 when you were healthy, when you had a full lineup, and you haven't played a very difficult schedule. You haven't been playing against the juggernauts of the NHL. You've been playing a relatively soft schedule, I would argue. You've played Buffalo and Arizona and Vancouver and Seattle. You haven't played some of the better teams in your conference and the better teams in your division. Something has to give. For the Jets to put forth that effort tonight after having so many days in a row off, Dave, tells me that something is rotten within the building, within the organization. Something is not working. Some message is not clicking anymore. And I don't know what's going to all of a sudden make it click. I don't think it necessarily, I'd be surprised. I mean, at a point in time, and this is just human nature, the message gets stale. It just does. And you heard it at the end of the game tonight. You don't hear it very often, but you heard the crowd that was still in the arena boo the Winnipeg Jets off the ice. And they were very deservingly so of having that happen, given how poor the performance was and the lack of any fight in the Winnipeg Jets game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, that's a good soliloquy, Drew. And I think that Paul Maurice and his coaching staff have to know the pressure is on them. I mean, they're like, we've been talking about this now for a while, and it's mostly because they haven't been playing well. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you've brought in, you have the Vezina goaltender, and even if Connor Hellebuyck is not playing like Connor Hellebuyck is always, you've got brought in the defense. You've got the forwards, despite the, you know, the loss of Blake Wheeler. You've got more than enough. You know, you were 4-0-1 without Blake Wheeler when he had COVID. So, you know, that can't use that as an excuse. In terms of personnel, obviously playing 11-7 was an unusual, you would think, occurrence, simply because of the fact that David Gustafson wasn't able to. Well, I'm presuming David Gustafson wasn't able to be called up because of what's happening with the Moose and COVID, although they were able to practice today. So, and they'll likely leave for Chicago tomorrow. Lighter, at least, of one player, maybe more. We'll see. But because the Moose did call up two forwards from Newfoundland today. So we don't know how many guys the Jets are going to retain, and they can retain quite a few because of Blake Wheeler's $8.3 million contract. So there's a lot of cap space. Jets won't have to worry about that, at least in the short term. But yeah, I mean, who else is it on? I mean, and Paul Maurice, you know, often takes the slings and the arrows for his team and says, well, you know, I didn't have them ready, or we didn't do this, or we didn't do that. It's like, okay, that's fine once, that's fine twice. That's not fine over and over and over again. And this continual, when you're losing ground the way they are right now in the standings in the Central, I mean, it's just not good. So to me, yeah, it is on Paul Maurice and it is on the coaching staff. And because you're not good, what are you going to do? You can't make any trades. I mean, in theory, if Wheeler's injury was more significant, then you would say, okay, well, maybe you can do a la the Tampa Bay Lightning and bring someone in, because you knew like Kucherov was not going to play till the Stanley Cup
for the remainder of the season.
Right.
And then
ready to go for the playoffs. But the reality is, even though it's obviously doesn't sound like it's going to be short term for Blake Wheeler, it doesn't sound like it's going to be super long term for him either. Weeks, not days. That's right, Ezzy.
Yeah, so but it's not, it sounds like it's, you know, to your point though, it's not, it doesn't sound like it's going to be many months or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or season ending.
No, exactly. So the point is that you, because of that, you can't really make a trade. So you can't make a trade. You're spending to the cap. You've, and again, your defense isn't perfect. Like let's call it what it is. You've improved your defense.
Yeah.
You don't have like, it's not as if you've suddenly become a top six defense in, you know, so your top six is one of the best, you know, defenses in the NHL. You improve, you know, and guys like Josh Morrissey have gotten better than they were last year. But the reality is you didn't just suddenly remorph into one of the best defenses in the NHL, but they improved. So you improved the defense, your forwards, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois career season, Kyle Connor career season, but other guys step up. And obviously you've had Mark Scheifele, you know, who's playing better of late, but kind of regressed this season. You have Blake Wheeler. Obviously he's heated up a little bit. What I'm saying is you can't use that as an excuse. So you have to look at the coaching staff. Look at the special teams. The special teams have been abysmal. I know that their power play is in the top 15, or at least it was, but the reality is their penalty kill is not getting any better. You know, I know you went 7-for-7 against mediocre power plays. And again, they're going to see what happens with, you know, you talked about it, I think it was on Saturday's show or the last postgame show, Drew.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do against, you know, the Capitals and the Blues, because Capitals and Blues have very good power plays. So that's another area where the coaching staff, I know the players are the ones who execute, but it's on the coaching staff to draw this stuff up. So, I mean, I sound like a bit of a broken record, but it's the truth. This is on Paul Maurice. It's on Dave Lowry. It's on Charlie Huddy. And if they can't get it done, then the Jets have to figure out someone who will.
Well, you needed somebody. I mean, if you look at the individual performances in tonight's game, I mean, Ehlers, definitely noticeable. Pierre-Luc Dubois, noticeable. It's a good thing.
Hold on. Come on. It's been a pretty depressing 20 minutes here.
Let me finish my thought.
Okay. The Jets played poorly.
Yeah. No, it's nothing to do. I wasn't even going to talk. Yes, they did. But what I was going to say is it's a good thing for Mark Scheifele that I don't believe the NHL is going to end up going to the Olympics, as it spares him the indignity of not making Team Canada given his performance this year.
Why is anybody going to the Olympics?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to end up going, but that's aside. But I mean, Mark Scheifele was awful tonight. Mark Scheifele was, I mean, he got set up with that golden chance, and the Sabres goaltender, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, made a great save. But Mark Scheifele should be taking over games like this. He was invisible.
And I don't disagree with Scheifele's play. Like, he had a few good chances. You look at the Vancouver game and Scheifele, Connor, Wheeler, that was the really unfortunate part of Wheeler going down, is that line. That was maybe their best line of the last 3 years, but you're right. I mean, you have to follow that up. You can't have one good game or, you know, one bad game, or two good games, one bad game. When you're one of the highest paid players in the league, you're the best, you know, top centerman, even though, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois has arguably played better. No, not arguably. He's played better than Scheifele this year. No, so, you know, there's no excuses for that. I agree. And I think, you know, something you mentioned earlier, Drew, I think, you know, needs, you know, further discussion about, you know, the way this team plays against lesser opponents, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, the low point in the season, I mean, there have been a few bad games. I mean, the 7-1 loss to the Wild guys was maybe the worst Jets performance, but the 1-0 loss to Arizona, I mean, that could have easily been, you know, your low point. But we're talking about teams that you are clearly better than, and then especially when you're on home ice and you're a better home team than you are an away team, and you didn't make it hard enough for them. And I think that's kind of what stood out to me, you know, as that game progressed into the third period. Like, you know, maybe this is just my opinion, and, you know, maybe people in the chat think I'm out of my mind, but I mean,
they,
you know,
seem to have made that clear so far.
Well, yeah, and I am out of my mind most of the time. But Rasmus Dahlin's goal, I mean, again, you know, everybody, you know, likes to pick apart certain, you know, parts of the game, or, you know, look at it just like a loss, right? And not really dive deeper. But that goal is a killer when the game's tied, and, you know, you know, say whatever you want about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and you're going to have to remember that name, because this is a first round draft pick, guys. Like, this is the future of the Sabres in net. I realize that the Sabres have had, I think, 25 different goalies this year with, you know, Craig Anderson and Malcolm Subban and Dustin Tokarski. I'm missing someone else in there, but I think they've had five goalies that have started games so far, which is crazy. I said Craig Anderson, but I'm missing someone there. I forget, but they've had a lot of goalies. But Pekka Luukkonen, this is the guy that, you know, they expect to be their goalie for a long time, right? They have a lot of invested in him, right, Dave? Like, you know, he's been playing with Rochester, right, in the American Hockey League.
They could have used him tonight because they lost 11-1 to the Charlotte Checkers.
Yikes, 11-1.
And look, we don't put a lot of faith in plus minus, but it was rather entertaining to go and look at the score sheet. -5, -6. I was like, oh. What a game. A beautiful game.
You know, getting back to, you know, tonight's game, you know, that could be something that, you know, maybe I was only seeing through the first couple periods, especially, you know, from the midway point on when Pierre-Luc Dubois tied up the game. I mean, the Jets were all over them. Like, Scheifele, you know, played really well. I mean, Ehlers and Dubois played well. And then obviously, you know, the line blender got out and they put Scheifele, Ehlers, Kopp together. And, you know, I actually thought Kopp was probably the best Jets forward in that third period, but too little too late at this point in the season. You know, you got to get wins, you know, against these teams.
Well, I think to your point, Ezzy, I think you're saying, you know, when the Jets wanted to be a dominant team in tonight's game, they could do so. The problem was that they didn't want it enough. They didn't want it on a consistent basis. And then after Buffalo, you know, took the 3-2 lead into the third period, there was no push from the Jets. There was no push. They had a power play opportunity 5 seconds into the third period. And what did they do on that power play? The same they did on all their other power plays, which is a big fat nothing. You can't do that. You just can't do that against another opponent. You let them off the mat. I mean, this is a Buffalo Sabres team, as Dave mentioned when he was speaking, that comes into this game with no confidence. You know, they have no confidence. They've lost 7 in a row. The Jets are a better team on paper. The Jets should be rested. They haven't played since Friday. They've had nothing but time on their hands. And rather than forcing their will and, you know, just ending the game before it could even begin, basically, the Jets are all too happy to be casual and relaxed. You score the first goal, maybe we'll tie it up. You score the second goal, maybe we'll tie it up. You score the third goal, oh, wait, we can't tie it up. You score the fourth goal, well, now we had nothing. That to me is just emblematic of arrogance in the locker room, arrogance within the players, arrogance within the system, arrogance within the coaching staff, arrogance within the organization, just top to bottom. It just reeks of arrogance, in the manner in which they perform tonight. I just can't. If that's the only word that comes to my mind, Dave, is just arrogance for how they treated the intricacies of the game and how they treated their opponent.
I'll tell you right now, you know what? There's an easy solution, and I'm not a coach. I'm going to give this to Paul Maurice and his coaching staff for free. I don't moonlight as a consultant, so this is just going to be a freebie for the Winnipeg Jets. And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who's listened to me before. But the Winnipeg Jets need to come and watch a Manitoba Moose hockey game because they play like a team. And they don't have one guy who's dominating, you know, like David Gustin's is probably their best forward. Ville Heinola is their best defenseman. They've got a lot of guys who are role players, but they play like a team. And it's evident in their power play. It's evident in the second best penalty killing unit in the AHL. It's evident in the way they play. And you know what? I mean, honestly, it's something as simple as taking short shifts. And that to me is like, you know, it's funny, like Mark Morrison, the head coach of the Moose, talked about it. He talked about these guys aren't selfish. They think about each other. That's all they do. And you know, it's amazing when the game changes from the AHL to the NHL and how it becomes, I know it's quote a team game, but it becomes a more individual game. These guys don't care. You know, you talk to any of them. They're all they want to do is, you know, like Jeff Mellott, I spoke to him today. Christian Reichel spoke to him the other day. That's what these guys talk about. That's what they do. They just talk about the team. They talk about, like, that's a team that likes each other. And I'm not saying the Jets don't, but this is a team. And they've stayed together, which generally in the NHL, you don't really have that consistency year over year. But this team, for the large part, stayed together from last year. So they have already created that good foundation. But the point is, these guys play for each other. And it's so obvious in their play. Like, I'm telling you, if you haven't been to a Moose game, well, we've got more tickets to give away after Christmas, because the Moose are on the road until Christmas. You'll see them wearing a different jersey because, of course, in the AHL, they switch jerseys after Christmas. So they'll be wearing the different colors that they normally do.
You have a different pair of antlers to wear then? Does that work for you too?
Good question. So I don't yet, but I'll have to talk to the Moose staff and we'll see if they can hook me up with some, or I can just spray paint them, I guess. But anyways, I'm kind of joking, but I'm also kind of not joking because, like, it really is evident in the way the Moose play versus the Jets. First of all, the Moose don't ever feel like they're out of a game. They're down in a game against Grand Rapids. No, it wasn't against Grand Rapids. They were against, I don't remember who they were against, but they were down 2-0 after 40 minutes, despite outshooting them 20-6 in the second period. And then they fly in the third, they score 4 goals, and they come back and they beat them. I think it was Grand Rapids. But the point is, like, that's what this Moose team is. And they're a consistent bunch, but they play for each other together as a team. That's something the Jets don't seem to do. And you talked about it, Drew, like individual play. Like, you really shouldn't be focused on individual. This is a team game, supposedly. And like I said, if the Jets could simplify their game, balance their lines, like, I mean, why is Mark Scheifele playing 25 minutes and Pierre-Luc Dubois playing 19?
Scheifele was 25-19 in today's game. Pierre-Luc Dubois was 19-03.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, it's just there's a lot of instances. And you know what? Honestly, it goes to the – we talk about the – like, and again, I don't want to harp too much on the AHL versus the NHL because I know it's a very different game. But the reality is, like, these guys are on for 30 seconds. You know what they do for 30 seconds? They leave it all out there. They like, really just unload for 30 seconds. And if they can't manufacture something, you're talking power play right now, 5-on-5 too, but for the most part, this is a power play comment. And they'll kill it for 30 seconds. And you know what they do? Even if they're in the other zone, they make a shift. You know why? Because they know that they've got another group that they trust that can go in there and kill it for 30 seconds. These guys are on for like a minute, minute and a half. They kill the power play. And so far, the power play has just been useless. So to me, like I said, it's...
Well, Dave's got so fed up, he left. I've never seen that. He left mid-sentence. That doesn't happen very often.
What happened
there? I'll tell you what, I'm not sure what happened to Dave there, but that's a good excuse. Let us take a break when we come back. Dave will continue ranting, and we'll have more on tonight's Jets and Sabres game. The Jets losing 4-2 to the Buffalo Sabres. Stay with us. Much more of the Illegal Curve post-game show to come. Hopefully, Dave will calm down a little bit at that point in time. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
5 minutes after 10 o'clock, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. The Jets dropping a 4-2 decision at the hands of the Buffalo Sabres earlier tonight. A disappointing loss on home ice for the Jets. A rested Jets team, a Sabres team that had lost 7 in a row. Somehow that equals 4-2 for Buffalo. I am Drew Mandel. Dave Minuk's in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. Here's some quotes from tonight's post game.
Oh boy.
Brief post game. Paul Maurice in no mood to talk.
1 minute? I bet it was around a minute.
Yeah, a minute, I think it said a minute 39 or something like that, according to our buddy Mike McIntyre. Very quick post-game. NHL Jets, so Paul Maurice on if tonight's loss was on him not having his players ready. Quote, that's my job. We got to play faster than that. We got to play harder than that. Be more engaged than that, regardless of our set of circumstances. We need to be better than that. Follow-up. So what's it going to take to ensure games like tonight's stinker against Buffalo don't keep happening, Paul Maurice. Quote, just attention to detail. Focus. To me, it wasn't attention to detail. I mean, sure, the attention to detail was horrible on the goal where the entire team just sort of vacated the center of the net. I believe that was the two-one goal.
That was the Andrew Bjork goal. Yeah. Morrissey and Schmidt went for a skate. Yeah.
Kyle Connor just wandered away like one of the rickshaw drivers on the side.
Well, Connor has to know. Sorry, Drew. Connor has to know in that situation. Morrissey and Schmidt are chasing, right? Yeah. I forget who it was that they were chasing there. I mean, maybe you guys remember there. Whoever it wasn't Cody Eakin, but it was someone. Whoever the other player, Gergensen's, or whoever was on that line. And Bjork. So Connor just has to have that awareness, right? Like he just can't leave his man there,
right? But I mean,
it's easy for me to say that. I mean, Connor's been the best goal scorer on the Jets, but in that situation, I mean, it was clear to everybody that, you know, Connor just can't vacate the front of the net there.
No,
he's got to cover Bjork.
Yeah, the rest of the team was above the hash marks, and Bjork was just standing there next to Hellebuck, having a nice little conversation. To me, it wasn't attention to detail as much. I mean, that certainly was a factor. The effort wasn't what it needs to be to win in the NHL.
Sorry, Drew, it was Vinny Hennestrosa. Somebody help me out there.
Playing his 300th NHL game.
Well, congratulations to him. There was a win for him, 4-2. It was just, the effort isn't there, consistently. It's not, the Jets played and then, there was follow-up questions. Paul Maurice said the Jets skated for 15 or 20 minutes out of the 60 minutes. That's just not enough. I mean,
especially at this point in the season, I agree with you. I mean, that and the attention to detail, and we have to be faster. And like, how many times are we going to hear that? I mean,
the question is, why weren't if you only skated for 15 or 20 minutes, and that has happened game in and game out and game in and game out, why does it continue to happen?
Right, and I don't think, by the way, beating Washington is going to all of a sudden erase this game. Like we've talked about this, guys, because Drew mentioned the record. What was it? 4-6-2 in the last 12 or 4-7-2 in the last 13, whatever it is, that's under 500. And the Jets now are a 500 team. So now, they're battling, for a wild card spot, and Colorado, I think they still have three games in hand or two games in hand. Right. And Minnesota, Dave mentioned, they've got, COVID issues right now, but like Minnesota is clearly, maybe a more of a contender than, some of us thought, right? So the Jets are obviously not out of the playoff picture. We talked about that, at the beginning of the show. But like, if you lose a couple more games, you're going to be in a position where you might be 4 or 5 points out of a playoff spot. So not only do they have to beat Washington, but then they have to follow that up with a win against St. Louis. And then they have to go on the road. And then they have a back-to-back, I believe, against Dallas and Nashville, right? Or mm-hmm. Dallas is one of them. I forget if it's Dallas and Nashville.
It's Dallas and Nashville.
So those two teams are, not exactly pushovers either. I mean, the Jets, I think, are a more talented team than both of those teams.
Nashville's playing way better hockey. Nashville's won 17 out of their 28 games.
Right. So you got to start looking at the big picture here, guys, right? Like, can the Jets beat the Capitals? And are they going to be motivated after tonight's loss to beat the Capitals? It's going to be a Friday night. National audience, you've got Ovechkin and the boys in town, but I mean, it's not good enough right now to win two, lose two, that type of hockey. The Jets are going to have to put together a nice 4 or 5 game winning streak. And it's not going to be easy considering the teams that they've got coming up the next couple of games, Blues and Washington, and then the back-to-back. That's not an easy back-to-back against Dallas and Nashville. So, I would have to say they should go at least 3-1 over these next 4 games because 500 is not going to cut it.
But there's no evidence, Ezzy, and Dave, I want you in on this. There's no evidence that this team is going to go is anywhere closer to winning anything more than one out of every 3 games. I mean, there's no evidence that this team is all of a sudden going to flip a switch and become a good hockey team again.
If that's the case, then they definitely need a coaching change.
Well, they are. I mean, you are what your record indicates you are. You are 4-7-2 in your last 13 games. I mean, that's what they are. They're 4-7-2. They're one of the worst teams in the NHL probably since the middle of the month of November. That's just the reality of almost the situation.
Almost like when they moved Svechnikov off that line, everything blew up.
I mean, you know, I don't think that you can make that. I know where you're going with that. I understand what your point is there.
Well, I was just mostly joking, but it's okay.
I know you're being a little tongue-in-cheek and everything TIC. Else. But, you know,
tech.
They don't ever do anything different, and yet they expect different results. I mean, you look at tonight's game. You know, with all due respect to the Buffalo Sabres, when you're getting outworked like the Jets were, maybe you should play some of your harder working players more to lead by example.
Yep, for you sure. Know,
Jansen Harkins played 13 and a half minutes. Okay, decent number. Dominic Toninato, who all he does is, you know, he's just going to skate in straight lines. He's going to do dirty things. Played 6 minutes and 12 seconds. Christian Vesalainen, you know, albeit he took the penalty that ended up being the Sabres, leading to the Sabres opening goal, 10 and a half minutes.
His first ever NHL penalty, by the way.
Well, there you go. Congratulations.
Shout out to Brent Bellamy of Number 10 Architecture and the Winnipeg Free Press.
Svechnikov, 8 minutes and 40 seconds. These are guys who are going to work hard for you. These are guys who are going to, who only know how to play the game one way. You remember Paul Maurice talking about the success, I guess this is a couple of years ago, about a guy like Harkins in the playoffs. And he said that, you know, Jansen Harkins' game, and this would also apply to Toninato, their game doesn't change from the regular season to the playoffs because their game is always the same. It's always a hard-working game. Mm-hmm. It's always a game based on effort. They're not going to win based on their skill. They're not going to try and dipsy-doodle and have a highlight reel goal. That's just not the kinds of players they are. There's a limitation to what they can do. So they work hard, and that's how they've made it this far in the NHL.
They have no other
rather
option,
than, to your and point. Rather than using those players as the example and showing the skilled players what they need to do, you just don't play those players. Instead, you run the skill players into the ground. Mark Scheifele playing 25 minutes and 20 seconds tonight is rewarding him for no reason. He wasn't good. He wasn't good enough to warrant playing 6 minutes more than Pierre-Luc Dubois, who was probably... Well,
especially when he was the best forward for the Jets tonight.
And 6 minutes more than Nikolaj Ehlers, who was the Jets' second best forward tonight.
I agree, Drew. And what's, I mean, you could, you know, if the Jets had seven power plays, which they didn't, obviously, what did they have, three or two? Three, right?
So it's, I thought.
Oh, they had four? Okay, sorry. So, I mean, you even with four power plays.
Right, they had three. They had three. You were right.
Yeah, what are you doing, Dave? You're putting four up. They had three.
I had three. What are you talking about?
I thought
about?
That was a four. No. Was your thumb in there? I wasn't sure what was going on. There we go, Dave. I just wanted to make sure you were awake here at quarter after 10. But, yeah, I can't disagree with just can we pause for a second just because it's been
a bit of a
depressing loss here to the Sabres. The Bombers are back-to-back Grey Cup champions, baby. Just thought I'd get that in there. Let's not forget. Let's keep the, you know, I'm glass half full, Drew, here. So you I just want to keep that, you know, back-to-back champions, baby. By the way, how nice was it to watch them come off of that plane? Half of them didn't even have shirts on. That was the best. Look at you. You can't make excuses. You can't lose to a team, as you said, that's a bottom 10 team in the league, even bottom 5-10 team in the league. They might be improved. But when you have, you know, 3 days between games and you're a team that's, they're battling for their playoff lives. Like, I can't stress that enough, right? Like, you know, Drew mentioned, you know, do we need to recalibrate here? Maybe, I don't know. I really don't know the answer. I'm not copying. I'm not Andrew copying out here. But, you know, this isn't a team that is in a position like, you know, Minnesota right now at the top of the Central. At least they were. I think they're still at the top of the Central, right? Like, they're just not in that position. Mm-hmm. They have to get these points here. They have to put together, again, talk about broken record. I mean, they do have to put together a nice little streak here, whether it's, you know, 4 or 5 wins in a row, whether it's, you know, winning 7 of 10 or winning 8 of 10. Like, what happened to that Jets team that got 10 of 13? You can do that, Drew. What about the team, you know, that had points in, you know, what was that streak? 10 of 13 games? Like, where's that team?
Gone.
I think that team is in there, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good right now, and they're going to have to turn this around quickly because, as I mentioned earlier, not only do you have the Capitals, who are one of the best teams in the East, second or third in the East, St. Louis isn't a pushover, and then that back-to-back is killer in Dallas and Nashville.
Dave, I mean, you know, do you think there's any semblance of that team that that rattled off points and was earning points even when they weren't playing that well, you know, still lingering here? I mean, Ezzy certainly thinks it's still a possibility. I see no signs of it.
I would suggest that when you have Connor Hellebuyck in net, you know, that could always be an equalizer, and he's for years covered up some bad play on the Winnipeg Jets side. So there's always the possibility that Connor Hellebuyck locks it down and you know, is able to get this team some wins. Will this team some wins? But the reality is, like I said, I go back to what I was talking about earlier with the Moose. I mean, it's just the Jets are not playing a team game. And you know what? I think you're not wrong. Like, I was watching Jansen Harkins, Drew, earlier in the game, and I was thinking to myself, like, here's a guy who probably deserves more ice time. Here's a guy, and 13 minutes is an improvement, I would imagine, over what he's been getting for the most part. But the reality is, why not? Like, what is stopping you from giving a guy that level of responsibility? I mean, you know, this idea of balance, like, I'm sorry, there's nothing I saw from this Jets team that said to me, Mark Scheifele merited 25 minutes. Simply from the fact that, like, no, but I mean, regardless of his play, I would just say, like, why not give your other guys, you had 3 days off. I get that you can quote, and you have a break now, obviously.
Yeah.
Because you don't play the Capitals till Friday. So you have another, you know, long-ish break between games. So you had the opportunity to, quote, empty the tank. But I don't know. Just to answer the question that's in the chat, some people are asking about David Gustafson, why he wasn't called up. But the answer is that the Moose had a COVID situation on Monday, and as a result, the Jets aren't calling anybody up. They'll probably call Gustafson up tomorrow would be my guess. But the Moose leave.
Nate Beaulieu played 3 minutes.
No, I know. But yeah. That, I mean, there's nothing they could do because.
No, I understand. I understand the extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, so
Beaulieu had a perfect Corsi in tonight's game. I don't know if that's a mistake on natural stat trick, but Nate Beaulieu had a 100 Corsi in three minutes of 5-on-5.
I know, but was a 1-0? Was that his Corsi? Probably.
Anywho. Perfect. The point is that Gustafson will be recalled. And you know, will he only play 4 minutes? I can't tell you whether he's going to get any substantial minutes with his Moose team. With the Jets team. But the truth is, as I've been tweeting out the comments from, whether they're from Mark Morrison, who, you know, his head coach in with the Moose, who said, you know, he had a really good quote, like, you know, hey, Gus, you know, go get it done, basically. I put that one out. It was on our website. And
like Jeff Malott's comments that you posted, I believe it was yesterday, Dave, today on our Instagram account. Yeah. Like, Jeff was saying, I'm 25 years old and I look up to him. Gustafson's only 21. So, you know, when a guy like that who had a good college career, right, is praising Gustafson, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And so the reality for the Jets, but like I said, he's a good player. And if you want, listen to Mark Morrison's media availability on after the game we did with him on Saturday, because he talked about how he feels like Gustafson is the most consistent player. And like, as he said, Jeff Malott spoke about that today after their practice. But, you know, Mark Morrison talked about that idea of having more from an offensive perspective, because oftentimes we always focus on his 200-foot game. But I agree. I think he will have a lot more to give. So he is a player, but he's not going to solve all the Jets' problems. And the Jets are going to need to be more like the Moose than the Moose are going to be like the Jets. So hopefully David Gustafson can come up and bring that attitude.
There's
that
no stopping the Gus bus, Drew, Dave. Come on.
Well, that's true.
It's time. The Gus bus is got, you know, a full tank of gas. It's coming.
Premium gas? What kind of gas?
It's premium.
But it's the issue. The issue is that a lot of times, especially for a 21-year-old player, he's going to come in and he's going to not want to rock the boat and obviously make waves. So he'll, you know, try and be quiet and fall in line. And the reality is, like I said, the Jets would do well to pay more attention to what's going on. I've been saying that for a while now. I think they need to pay more attention to what's going on down the hallway, because the Moose right now seem to be doing everything right. And the Jets, because the Moose, guys, remember, the Moose, second in the Central. They and the Chicago Wolves, who they're playing Thursday morning. What's today? Tuesday. So they're playing them Thursday morning, 11 o'clock. One of those school games. You'll be listening to the game either on the radio or you'll be watching it, and all you'll hear is cheering for like 60 minutes because it's like 15,000 kids get bussed into the arena. It's amazing. It's a lot of fun. The atmosphere is
Drew's worst nightmare.
It is. But anyways, the point is it'll be a lot of fun, but it'll be a great atmosphere. And the Moose and the Wolves are the Wolves, by the way, were rolling until Carolina had this COVID situation. So they've pulled some guys up. But right now the Moose and the Wolves are battling out for the Central first and second. That's what the Jets need to be doing, but they're not doing it. So look to the AHL squad. Look at the selflessness with which they play their games. And it could serve this team well.
Boys, it's okay. Like back in the day, back in the days of, you know, Greg Pankowitz and Steve Maltese.
As a hardest hitting comment from our friends at Tough Duck, who's getting a toque tonight?
Yeah, I like this comment a lot, Drew. It was back at 9:58. It was Blake Grist. So I don't know if Blake is a hockey coach or a hockey player, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was both. The comment was, Jets are missing a right-handed forward on their power play. I am not sure what the reason is for having Connor and Scheifele on their strong side. Flip them to their offhands. I like that. And the reason why I wouldn't be surprised if Blake is a hockey coach or a former hockey player, that's a very astute observation. And I agree. Like having watched this team so many times over the years, all of us, the angles that you can get on your offside, right? And you know, just for the record, Scheifele is a right shot and Connor is a left shot. And the Jets have had that issue, right, guys? Because that's why Riley Nash is a right shot, you know, was getting some time when Stastny was out of the lineup, right? So the Jets have had some issues kind of, you know, with, and same thing goes for Ehlers, right? Like Ehlers is a left shot, but he plays on the right side. So same thing, you know, so I think that's a really good observation. So that's maybe something to look out for, you know, in that game against Washington to see maybe if, you know, you see Scheifele on the left side and Connor on that right side.
Well, there you go. Congratulations to Blake Grist. You are the winner of the Tough Duck Toque for tonight's hardest hitting comment. Send Ezzy an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or slide into his DMs @ICEzzyG, and he'll hook you up with the prize courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck.
And Blake, with the temperatures going down to whatever it is, minus 25 on Thursday, you're going to need as many toques as you could possibly get. You might have to put that Tough Duck toque over another toque just because of, those winds. It's going to be pretty brutal, but it's all good.
It's always Winnipeg. Nice and hot here on the Illegal Curve postgame show and the Illegal Curve hockey show. So be sure to join us Friday night after the Jets and the Capitals, right around 9:30, 9:40, sometime around there. Join us for the Illegal Curve postgame show following that game. And then join us again Saturday morning for the Illegal Curve hockey show, where we'll recap the Friday night game and look ahead to Sunday afternoon against
the last show of 2021, Drew.
Not the last show of 2020. The last Saturday show of 2021.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, that's what I meant. Yeah.
That is true. That is a fair comment on you there, Mr. Ginsburg. We want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey and our website, illegalcurve.com. Speaking of which, all the latest post-game coverage will be available on illegalcurve.com. So we encourage you to check that out and always visit it multiple times per day for your latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsburg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for joining us on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Before you go, smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, rate us, review us, leave us a comment. We always like to hear what you have to say. And we say until Friday night's post-game show, right around that 9:45 p.m. start time, we wish you a good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.